Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. We are here at the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, having a great time, meeting a lot of great people, seeing a lot of cool things, especially in the pet world, which may surprise some of our listeners. But think about it, we're all pet parents, aren't we? And we work in all different kinds of industries. So this makes a lot of sense. I've got with me, though, a great guest. He is just gonna blow your mind. You all know how much I talk about pet nutrition, pet nutrition, pet nutrition. Well, folks, he's gonna talk about fish nutrition. I wanna welcome to the show Les Wilson from Cobalt International. Les, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh gosh, hey, you and I were talking off air about fish nutrition. Why is it so important for fish parents to understand fish nutrition?
Similar to the same reasons you have fish or pet nutrition and the need for proper amounts of protein, amino acids, vitamins and minerals in your dog and cats is similar in fish. Only it's more important in fish because dog and cat, when they have to go to the bathroom, you take them outside, they go on the lawn, they come back in. A fish goes to the bathroom in the environment it's living in.
Yeah, so closed environment.
Closed environment. So it's swimming around in its own waste all the time, unless you're properly taking care of your fish tank. But it still is in there. And it's, depending on the ingredient choices we use as a manufacturer, can drastically affect the water quality and the amount of poop that is made or waste that is made by the fish.
Right. And as any aquarist knows, water quality is the key to everything going on. So this has a big impact on that water chemistry.
Yeah, water quality, specifically nitrogenous waste is what we call it. It's nitrogen-based waste. In humans and our mammals in general, we get rid of our nitrogenous waste through urea. So we pee it out. Fish actually breathe it out of their gills through passive diffusion. So whatever level of ammonia, and that's what we're worried about, ammonia, is in the aquarium, that's what it is in the fish, because it goes from higher density to a lower density, like diffusion. So when we talk about water quality, that's really what we're looking at, is that, and then biological conversion of ammonia to nitride to nitrate ultimately, and through that process produces a hydrogen ion as well, and that affects the pH. So the two main components we worry about are ammonia and pH.
So now your food in particular addresses that.
Yes, we use a high quality salmon meal as our base, and what we, and then mix in other proteins after that. And what we look for is trying to blend a good amount of animal protein and plant protein together. Think of it like steak and cauliflower. Like, most people love steak and most people hate cauliflower, or if you don't like cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And some of the plant proteins in the fish eat are similar. Fish don't really like them, but they need them. Spirulina algae, for instance, which is very popular food, has a very bitter taste to fish, and it's not very palatable is the word we use. So we blend in that plant protein in with the good tasting animal protein to get a good diet. And the key difference between animal and plant protein is animal protein, although it tastes really good, has a negative effect by having larger amounts of nitrogenous waste per gram of protein compared to most plant proteins. So we blend the two together to get a good tasting mix that's the best for the ultimate water quality come at the end after the fish processes it.
So I know our listeners have to be, you know, kind of talking to themselves, talking to the radio, going, wait a second, what kind of taste buds do fish have?
They have sensory organs for taste too, and it's a big, they smell it. We when we develop fish food, we have what I call the three strike rule. In our case, it's three strikes and you're in, not three strikes and you're out. The first one is when it hits the water, it has to have a good scent. Fish have very good scent, smell. It's not really smell, but the smell, they can sense think of chumming for sharks. Everybody knows that. So they can smell it And if it smells good to them, they go investigate it. So that's strike one. When it hits the water, do they go after it? Then strike two is it palatable? And we take palatability a little further than most. It's not just palatability, it's with sticking in their mouth. Do they chew it? They want to put it in their mouth. And then we make sure that they actually swallow it. And that's strike two. So it's got to come up, hit them, they got to sense it, they want to go after it, they want to stick it in their mouth and swallow it. And then the third strike for us is nutritionally correct.
Important, nutritionally correct.
Yeah.
Not only as you've talked about the waste, but also you don't want to be overfeeding your fish any more than you want to overfeed any other pet that you have.
Yes, fish. Overfeeding fish can actually be more harmful to them, actually deadly sometimes, because if you overfeed and they don't eat it, the food can break down in the aquarium, cause a lot more waste, to cause negative heterotroph blooms, and if you don't have a lot of circulation in the aquarium, the heterotroph bacteria can bloom up and suck up all the oxygen and suffocate your fish. So there's a lot of downside to overfeeding fish for sure.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing we've done with our guests is we've talked about how to read labels, what you need to know when you're looking at a label. The same thing applies again in the fish world. What are some of your tips that you have for fish parents as they're reading pet fish food?
Well, the thing to understand about understanding or fish food in general is understanding what fish need in their diet and what they don't need. They need animal or some sort of protein, animal or plant, amino acids, vitamins, minerals, fatty acids as well. And that's a big deal when you're talking difference between fresh and saltwater. But what they don't need is carbohydrates. And if you look on the back of any fish food, you'll always see wheat middlings or soy middlings or wheat flour, some sort of flour. And people immediately think that we as manufacturers are the evil empire and are trying to cheat them by putting that in there.
Right.
And I like to use the analogy of chocolate chip cookies. Everybody's baked chocolate chip cookies from scratch. And so if you were doing that and you put your egg and your butter and your sugar into the thing and mixed it up, and you put it on a pan and you cooked it, what would you end up with?
Yeah, a big mess.
Big mess, exactly. So you need that flour in there as a binder to give that all that protein and that fat somewhere to kind of stick to through the cooking process. And that's how we develop our food as well, is you need that binder. So the key when you're reading in a label is understanding that that's carbohydrate is required, but is not required at the top level. And when you look at the label, there's a section called the GA, or guaranteed analysis, and then there's an ingredient list. The GA should contain protein and fat content, and you look at those levels, and if they're relatively high, say in the mid 40s or low 50s in the protein, and 14 to 15, maybe even 17% fat, then you should have some sort of carbohydrate, a binder, in the top three or four ingredients. It shouldn't be number one in that case. Protein should be number one, but three or four down, you should have a carbohydrate, and that's there specifically to bind it all together.
Sure.
Now, if you're looking at it and wondering if somebody is trying to cheat you, then you look at that protein content, and if it's lower, say in the 30s or in the 10s in the protein, and you look at the ingredient list and one of the carbohydrates is first or second, then you should be wary, and it may not be right for your fish.
Yeah, it might be out of balance if it's that high.
Exactly. Yep.
So very important there. Overall tips that you have, I know you and I have talked, you really have an incredible amount of information for fish parents everywhere. We're definitely going to have you on the show more often so that you can share that knowledge. But you know, a quick tip that you'd share with home aquarists, look, here's the top two or three things you can do to have a healthy aquarium.
Top three things, well, I'd say, you know, for sure, water changes. People a lot of times think that water change is a hassle and takes a lot of effort, but just simply draining 20% of your tank, not necessarily even doing the gravel vac, but just draining the water and replacing it on a regular basis is going to make you a lot more successful. The water gets stagnant. We lose a lot of the buffering capacity. It's called alkalinity, and that's probably the number one thing. The second thing is feed your fish according to the manufacturer's directions, which a lot of people think is bad, but fish are a natural grazer. They eat all the time, most fish. There are some larger predator fish that will eat only occasionally, but most of the fish we have are grazers and they eat continually. So feeding a small amount, what they can eat just in a minute or two, over two or three times a day, is much better than one big feed at a time. It's better on their digestive system. They're able to uptake more nutrients and your fish are going to be more healthy. So that's probably the top two.
Okay. Well, for more great information from yourself and Cobalt International, where can they go to get that information?
You can visit us on our website at cobaltaquatics.com or cobaltpond.com, or visit us on Facebook at Cobalt Aquatics.
Perfect. Les, thank you for taking the time with us. Really appreciate you sharing your knowledge.
No problem. Thank you.
Folks, we'll be right back for more from the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. More Pet World Insider to come after a few quick messages.
Life is Pawfect is the new must-have gift book for dog lovers everywhere. This book features more than 55 themed animal portraits from the Pawtographer. The Pawtographer builds out actual scenes and places dressed dogs in those scenes. The portraits are accompanied by wit and wisdom for pet parents. Life is Pawfect is sure to put a smile on any pet lover's face. Life is Pawfect by the Pawtographer is available in bookstores on Amazon.com or directly through thepawtographer.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, everybody. Robert Semro here with an important question for pet owners. Are you a Pet World Insider? If not, you should be. It's free, and Pet World Insider has a lot of great information for all types of pet owners. We have audio and video segments, as well as a library of great articles from pet experts to help keep you informed about the latest information in the pet world. Visit Pet World Insider online at petworldinsider.com.